This morning, we tried to talk to you about the wonderful things of God, which is our mission in coming here. That's our purpose, to enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter into His courts with praise. And indeed, the invisible world is so beautiful. And the Bible said, "In heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." We look for new heavens and we look for a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And indeed, you are going to pass away. You're going to die. They're going to put you in the ground. They're going to have your funeral. There are going to be some tears shed. And you're either going to hell or going to heaven when you depart the scene. And this world is going to pass away. And all that's in this world is going to pass away. There will be nothing left of this world. All will pass away. The people will pass away. The heavens will pass away. The earth will pass away. And of course, when we think of these things, we think of them according to our human reasoning, of our zip and zeal and scientific indoctrinations that we call education, which the Bible calls foolishness, that's ever learning and never able to know the truth. When we think of it on that level, then we realize that people are playing a religious game throughout the world. And we also realize that people don't understand, even at their very best in their great scholarships. And we also realize that even the great elite churches of today, as to what we call the cream of the crop, even they don't understand. And knowing that nobody understands except Christ Jesus, then it's very necessary to have fellowship with Him and to know His mind. Whereas the Bible said, "Let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus, being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to make himself equal with God." And the church world is in a great dilemma in their ritualistics, going to and fro. They are in a terrible circumstance. Even though there are thousands of preachers, as I said this morning, and they're on the field across the world in the missionary fields, men and women alike, and they're seeking and searching out souls, and they're doing a great, wonderful job. But as to really knowing what's going on, there's very few that you find in the day we're living in. And then what they know, a lot of times it is so small, even though it is much, much greater than it is as to what the congregation knows. As I was said also not too long ago in speaking of a statistical report as to a survey, when the survey was made, 10, 15, 20, 20 years, more than 20 years ago, I guess it was, that a survey showed as to our leading Pentecostal churches, as to our leading churches, that their ministers did not average more than 15 minutes in prayer a day. And that our greatest churches, as to the preachers, average 15 minutes a day. And our laity did not average more or as much as 3 minutes a day, as to ones that's called Christians. So you can understand why, if we give all of our time to the study of college and school, of making a living and forcing our children up to the old tree of knowledge, and when we get right down to it, as to them that really love the Lord and them that's really seeking the Lord, we've got a bad situation. So we can tell why that they don't understand and why that they do not know. You can tell why that such a vision as seeing those things in heaven and looking back at the multitudes, that I couldn't find one person out of the great mass of the earth that really knew. So that means that we understand why the Bible said, "In this day shall come upon us unaware, as upon all the earth shall it be a snare to them that dwell on the earth." But it is a true fact that all will pass away. Only the word of God will remain. And whoever, as to where the word has been made flesh, he will remain. But other than that, there will be no remains of anything. And that's why we exhort you to follow God and to learn about the Lord. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And we look for new heavens and new earth. And when we say heaven and earth will pass away, we do then intellectually define the thing as to our human reason, because in every man's eyes, his ways are right. And there's only one that's really right. That's the Lord Jesus, which is the word of God. And if we read it as verbatim, though we might quote the scripture and be a scholar from cover to cover, still we may not know anything about the scripture at all. You can read the Bible and you can know every word. If it was possible for you to quote the Bible, the whole 66 books from beginning to end, and not miss one jot nor tittle nor one punctuation, when you finish, you would not know anything. Because the Bible said the word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And the word of the Lord comes. And this is the scribbling of the scribes. And they write it down. And you print it. You put it in a book. You send it to the churches. But then when it gets to the churches and when it goes wherever it's going to go, it is said, as Philip said to the eunuch, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I have no man to teach me? And so it is said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? And that one that God sendeth will speak God's word. And how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, testifying that there is a risen Savior. Hearing by the word, and the word by the preacher, and the spirit that came that brought forth that intellectual thought as to becoming a printed word, as to characters characterized, as to sentences. We're talking about something beyond that. We're looking to the Holy Spirit. So then the Holy Spirit, he does not dwell in houses made with hands. He does not dwell in books that's printed with ink. But the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. For the Bible said, he shall be in you and he shall live there in you. And the great Holy Spirit shall be a comforter, and he shall lead you and guide you into all truth and all righteousness. But he did not say he would do this without a preacher. He said, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching that you should receive the Holy Spirit, or that ye should be saved. And without his spirit, of course, you're none of his. So it's very evident that you have to have a shepherd. Sheep must have a shepherd. And we're called to be a shepherd. It was my calling in life to be a shepherd. I did not choose to be a shepherd, even though I'm glad he called me to be a shepherd. But I didn't even know what a shepherd was as to the shepherd of the sheep of Christ. But when he struck me down, as I said this morning, turn me around and call me to be a shepherd, then I was happy. When I learned the great joy of serving God and seeing what I had missed because of the blindness of sin. And I've had no desire to go looking back into Egypt or turning back into the land of garlic and onions, as in my heart to desire the things of the world. The flesh to me, I abhor it. I hate every evil way, David said, and I hate evil with a perfect hatred. And God is angry with the wicked every day. So then, knowing these wonderful things that we're called to be a shepherd, then we come from time to time, as we have down through the years here at Little Bethlehem, through your efforts and travail, through faith in God and through sacrifices of many, there's a place called Little Bethlehem. And as Frank said, God is bringing forth a man child. And over here in the Western world, there is a Little Bethlehem. And over in the Eastern world, we're very well acquainted with it. Been there many times, a lot of friends. God brought forth a man child. And a lot that we could say that might really be enriching to you as concerning the man child, and why the difference as to the East and the West, and why after the world here, as the Western world called the New World, goes out, why things will happen like they will. Maybe within a few minutes tonight is not to keep you long, but depending on the hunger and thirst of the heart as to what God will say, or whether he will say anything or not. But we might say a few things as to why that things are shaping up like they are. I kind of seize upon the morning, because in the morning when you come, you've been at rest through the night, your minds and nerves are relaxed, and you, a lot of times you come to church not having eat or not very much, and when you come, oh, it's kind of like a radio station with a clear channel. God begins to speak expressly, because the hunger and thirst of your heart is very strong. And with the drawing of that, then the Spirit begins to say the things that we would like to hear him say. And he speaks very clear and very expressly. Paul said, and the Spirit speaketh expressly. That in the latter times, and sometimes it's not too expressly because we're dull of hearing. You talk to a man that's dull of hearing and he doesn't understand thoroughly. He's always saying, oh, what did you say? And he questions what you say. But when he is sharp and alert in his hearing, then he knows exactly what you're saying. And that gives a person a chance to carry on a real good conversation as to communication. Well, we're here again tonight to talk about the word of the Lord. The word that is spirit and is life. Not a printed page. But the word that is spirit and life. And we use this, this Bible, we use this as a launching pad. This is, as we would say, a launching pad. And from here as to when they launch the missile, they have to have a launching pad. And in having a launching pad, it sets that thing on its way. The thrust, the power. Whereas the Bible said, and this word of God is to the gospel. Is the power of God. Unto salvation it is the power of God. Unto healing it is the power of God. Unto supplying all your needs, both in this world and the world to come, it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God to everyone that believeth. But you have to believe. You have to believe. The Bible said the Jews had the word, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. And you can have the word and you can be religious like America is right at this time and have the word written in all kinds of books, revised versions and whatever you want. But it doth not profit you because you don't have faith. And you cannot have faith by being religious. It's not possible. You can believe as to believe. If you believe, the devil believes also. And they fear and they tremble when they think about God. But faith is when your activities are put forth as to an effort, having a will, then a performance. And faith, that faith is shown when you make the effort to serve God and through self-denial to follow his instructions and to do explicitly what he's told you to do. And that is faith. And the writer said, you show me your faith without your works. How will you ever do that? Can you show anybody what you believe when you're not practicing anything? Or then he said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. And so then the body and the spirit has to go together to be holy in spirit and body. And that's why that James said, your faith without your works is dead, even as the body without the spirit is dead. So then works is for the body. And faith is for the spirit. And fasting is to subdue the natural energy of your body that praying at the same time will cause your spirit to interweave with God's great spirit as you communicate with him. And he fills you with the virtue that went out of him when it healed the little woman who had suffered many things at the hand of the physician. And as I so often say, that the church of today, the biggest problem is of today, that they don't have any virtue. They don't have any virtue. They've just taken this thing as believing and saying that that's it. And they've gone to an extreme and they do what they want to. And because of this, they've been blinded and they've been cut off and will not see when good comes. And in the Pentecostal world, at the beginning of the move of God there, they started the other way, and they started with their long hair and their long dresses and to do all kind of ritualistics and things that they thought was pleasing to God, and many of them was pleasing to God. But then they got off on the wrong foot and got to an extreme and come to find out that the rain was on many of them and not in them at all. And though they shouted their shoe heels off, I remember, and they shouted their hair down, but some of them was the biggest hypocrites in the church. And when they got outside, it showed up. When the sow went back to her wallowing in the mire after that she'd been washed, and when the dog went back to his vomit, when you sit here in the church and you have your own natural mind, you're lapping your own vomit. And you are wallowing in your own mire when you are doing your own thinking, because you're not supposed to have one thought left after Calvary. You're dead and you're bought with a price. And imagination cannot be there, and your human reason cannot be there. You reason with God, and every thought is expelled as to be brought into subjection to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ as to the transformation. There's no room for having businesses. There's no room for having a church, no room for having a minister or being a minister. There's no room for anything that pertains to the natural period. It's dead, it's gone, it's passed away. And the only thing there is Christ and the will of his heavenly Father, doing always the things that please him. And anything short of that, that means that you're coming up lacking. And that's why you're ordained to the perfection of those things, is to have virtue in your body, to have virtue. And the one thing that the Bible speaks of as to the latter time is the lack of virtue, a sinful, adulterous generation. They do not have any virtue because they do not have any time for God, and they do not have any vision for God. And because the people have no vision, then they have perished. Someone would say, well, I feel that at the rate they're going to perish, Brother Pike, because they cannot get a vision. No, that's not it at all. At the rate they're going, they're only continuing toward the eternal damnation and destruction because they've already perished. They perished spiritually. And the Bible said, though they are alive as to what you would think and seeing them, yet they are twice dead, some of them, and plucked up by the root. And all of them are dead that live in trespasses and in sin. For if the love of the world, the concern of the world, the care of monetary values and the things of the world, if this desire and this thinking is within you as to the gullible desire of the world and passions, then you're dead while you live and you're cut off. Now, I'd like to read in chapter 9 of the book of Hebrews. I might better read a good little bit, beginning with the 8th chapter, because sometimes I read a good bit of scripture, because a lot of people never read the Bible. They just never read it. They don't know anything about it. They never read it. And if you don't read to them, then they don't understand. Now, like tonight, to really drop a thought in here, I'd need to read about 4 or 5 chapters, which I won't try to do, but just to get a thought here, let's read the 8th chapter. Now the things which I have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. This is, of course, Paul's writing. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. That is to say, the Lord pitched the tabernacle as well as Moses pitched the tabernacle. And this is the reference to that. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifice, wherefore it is necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Now let's stop there just for a moment. See, Moses, you're going up for 80 days. Everything that you see is going to be heavenly. And when you come back down, you're going to be God to the people, because you're going to have the God mind, because that's what makes a God. And what makes a beast is a beast mind. What makes a doctor's mind. What makes a carpenter is a carpenter's mind. And as a man thinketh in his heart, as to his mind, that's what he is. As to his educated way of life, or his diplomacy of life. So, Moses, when you come down, you're going to be God. I've made you God to the people. And so it was when he came down, he was God to the people. They did not recognize that, but he was. And then said, and it will come to pass that I will raise up a prophet like unto myself, Moses said. And it shall be that whosoever faileth to hear that prophet shall be cut off from among the people. Speaking of Jesus. But he said, do all these things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. What kind of pattern was he shown? There was not but one thing he could have been shown. And that was the revelation of Jesus Christ. There was no other thing that he could have seen, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the mind of Almighty God. When Daniel prayed and fasted, and the angel said, O thou beloved man of God, what kind of thing had Daniel seen? It was the revelation of Jesus Christ. But many of them saw it in part. And many of them only saw just a little bit here or there. And that within the veil, as it was said to Daniel, sealed it up. when Daniel sought to know what it was all about. And so when Paul came after the veil had been rent in twain, and John came after Calvary when the veil had been rent in twain, then it was said to John, "See that ye seal it not, John." And yet it was the same vision as pertaining to what Daniel has seen. It said, "For the time is at hand." That is, see that you move the seal now, John. Don't seal this, because I brought you up through the door of the way of Calvary, and now you're standing in the heavenlies, you're seeing this thing, and I don't want the intellectual mind to fall as a veil of death over it, to stand between this and the people. For now the veil is rent in twain. And in this, he said to Moses, he said, "Now, Moses, you see that you make everything as to the example, as to the shadow, as to the allegory, as to the type of these things. When you go back down, you make a natural tabernacle, and you go back down and you ordain a natural priest, and you go back down from this great mount of God as to ascending up into the great spirit of God, even as Paul into the third heaven, as in his day. When you get down there, make everything, even the cherub wings, and even as to the mercy seat, whatever it is, explicitly the way that I tell you to make it. And make it so that when they see it, they will see it with their natural eyes, but seeing they will not see. And they will hear the priest with their natural ears, but hearing they will not hear. And the prophecy of the great prophet was fulfilled. And Jesus said, "Though you be great scholars," as he came to preach to the priest and preach to the Jews, and was sent to seek and to save those that were lost from there under the law. And Paul said to them, even Jesus said to them, Peter said to them, "Having eyes you see not, having ears you hear not." And in this is fulfilled the words of the prophet, saying that these people seeing shall not see, and hearing they shall not understand, lest at any time they should convert and I should heal them. In this, when Paul came, he had advanced. He was on the other side of Calvary, and he had entered into beyond the veil. And when he came, he said, "It is not I, but Christ that liveth." And his body had been beaten and torn so much as to the ordination of suffering for Christ Jesus, until truthfully he was dead, beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, all these kind of things, put in prison. And we of today, of course, we feel like, well, he is our overseer. He was our overseer. The great, wonderful Paul, who said, "I magnify my office because I am the overseer of the Gentile church. It is fulfilled as in him, that I have set a light that will shine to the ends of the earth, and all of the Gentiles shall come to thy lighting." As to Christ the unveiled. But we think that it is a great, wonderful show, a great, wonderful tent meeting, a great, wonderful television program, a great, wonderful radio program, and a great, wonderful drawing as to a PTL and a 700 club, and on and on and on. See, and God is saying, "And I have ordained you to be a movie star, and I've ordained you to be a great singer and a celebrity, and to live among the elite, and to be rich, and to rob the people and take everything that you can get, and preach to them about the little widow that gave her all, and you take all." And so on and on they go. But the thing is, it wasn't that at all, as with the overseer, as with the cornerstone of this thing, even Christ. But they've rejected the chief cornerstone, is the song we wrote. They have rejected the cornerstone. See, and this is marvelous in the eyes of God, as the Bible said, "As concerning these things, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And whosoever falleth upon this stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it falleth, it shall grind him to powder." So then he said, "Paul, you have spent your life not having a wife, no family." And of course, you know, Paul could have taken the outlook as he did at the beginning. They could have took the same in the end, when he esteemed himself so great that he was a special person, that he was blind as a bat, because of his study, because of his righteousness under the law, as blameless touching the law, and a Pharisee of Pharisees, perhaps belonging to the Sanhedrin, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the strictest tribe, circumcised the eighth day. And there he was, he lifted himself up only to find that he was blind as a bat and was persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this self-esteem as the ministry of today, many of them of today. And so when God finally talked with Paul, the scales fell from his eyes. The darkness went away. His intellectual concept of religion was no more. And then he learned that he was bruised as to Jesus for our transgression, and our iniquities were taken away in him, and the chastisement of our peace he bore. And when the Lord came to Paul and his eyes was open, Paul, having stood by while they stoned Stephen, been guilty of causing other saints to be put to death out of his zeal, thinking that he was doing the will of God, whereas the Bible said in the latter days they'll kill you and think they do God's service. He really thought he was doing God a great service. But when he was struck down on the way to Damascus and the great light shined round about him, and the Lord spoke to him and said, Paul, it's time for you to go down to the street called Straight. I want you to straighten up now. And then he gave him the way through the wonderful word of God and the name of Jesus to remission of sin, which Paul boldly preached and took a chance with his life many times. For the Lord said to Paul, and Paul, I'm going to show you the great things that you're going to suffer for my name's sake. And there it was, 40 times, 40 stripes save one, 5 times at the whipping post. Beat with rods thrice or 3 times, and shipwreck, and stoned, and left for dead. Put in prison, hungry and cold, and there it was, the beautiful ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there it was, the church, the beautiful church, as Paul said of one of his followers, and this brother has not spared himself for the sake of the ministry, as even now he's nigh unto death because of his love for you. And there it was, the ministry. You know, whereas the Bible said, if you suffer for his name's sake, then you can be exceeding glad. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, and sometimes you might be in that kind of condition because you've not spared your body, and it can get in a dying condition. But if you suffer because of your foolishness, as because you have done wrong in these evils, then beware, because we're not to suffer for evil's sake. Now, so here we are as to seeing this beautiful ministry of today, and then looking back beyond that as to Calvary. Going beyond Calvary, we see Moses saying, I must make everything according to the way that he has told me. Now we see Paul, whereas Paul is looking at the things that Moses looked at, and we see the veil that came over this as from the time of Moses' instruction, as unto Paul's when it dissipated as to the rending by the bright light when Christ came. See, and we see all of this as the in-between, as being consumed, and the consummation as to the brightness of his coming, to the eradication that the heavens should pass away, that the earth should pass away, the sea should pass away, and all their ends should pass away. That add with the brightness of his coming. Whereas the brightness of his coming, as you very well know, will not be until after the millennium. As when he breaks forth and the Son of God has reigned for 1,000 years to subdue all things under his feet. And the Bible said after the Son has put all things under his feet, then it will denote that that is the coming of the Heavenly Father, whose hair is as white as wool, and that he will reign forever. And with this, that it be no more as to the flesh in the earth, but it will be as to the Spirit in glory. As to God giving it to the Son and to the flesh, to you and I in this day, as the members of the body. And then when it passes beyond that, it goes back to the great eternal Spirit, even the Holy Father. And it's not the earth ordinations or the earth rules and regulations anymore, but it is the great eternal Spirit. And with that, all of the system of the world will pass away, including everything that's in the millennium, whether it's restored or whatever it might have been as to have for 1,000 years, everything will pass away. The earth will pass away. The heavens will pass away. The stars will fall from heaven. The moon will turn into blood. At the end of the regime of the sun, when Gog and Magog, as to being loosed from the bottomless pit, shall gather in around the throne, and the Bible said, fire shall come down out of heaven and devour them. Oh, that great consuming fire that creates such great light before him that everything dissipates. Then will come the new earth, and then will come the great, wonderful Ancient of Days, or as the Bible gives it, the Desire of Ages. Now, when we see this, it goes all the way over, but what about us? Where are we? What's happening to us right now? See, where are we at in this situation? We are at a place. What kind of place are we at? We are at a place at this time of life that the church does not know and does not understand and don't see, and that the people does not know and they don't understand and they don't see. But it's very obvious that when the revelation came, it was said the time is at hand. Whether we want to believe that or not, or whether we want to accept that or not, you know, that's really immaterial. It doesn't matter whether we accept it or not, or whether we want to accept it or not. It's a fact that when the revelation comes, the time is at hand. The time is at hand to let him be holy that is holy. Let him be holy still. And he that is wretched and wicked, let him be wretched and wicked still. See, and the time is at hand as to why would it be like that? Because then the foreknowledge of God is revealed as to what you've always been before the world ever was. And when this foreknowledge comes, then that is the end of the world. Because judgment begins at the house of God, and that is the judgment upon you. Because you once and for all know what you are. And the great judge is God speaking and not man. As this wonderful word of life comes forth, then when this comes forth, it means that it hath brought your judgment as to the minister remitting your sins or the minister retaining your sins. Someone would say, Brother Pike, do you actually believe that God is going to let a man remit sins and retain sins? The man Christ Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven. Let the same mind be in you that was in him that said, Son, let thy sins be forgiven. Or that is to say, even to calling for prayer as to anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick as to keep him from dying. And if he's committed any sins, it shall be forgiven him. And so then as my Father sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted, because there is a program. And if I am an ambassador from heaven, if I am an ambassador from Christ, I have a right to proclaim to you the emancipation proclamation as that that's determined in the plan of God as to his foreknowledge, which he purposed in himself as before the world ever was, Paul said, and made manifest in the last times as to given to you in Christ before the world was, brought to light or understanding at the rent veil and made manifest in human form as Jesus Christ, or as to the follow-up, as to his spirit, by measure within you, that you yourselves today, that you are the very bone and flesh of Almighty God, as to that great, wonderful system and plan and program that God has placed within you, as until the day of the redemption or change of the body. Now, so then we know that this is a great hour. Why is it a great hour? Because the time is at hand. And the foreknowledge is here, and we have the power to do these things, to bless or curse, or bear not the sword in vain, to execute judgment upon them that do evil, or to bless you. And in this, as to not preachers, but the ministry of Christ. For he has set in the body the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. Not as to lord over them, but as an example to the flock. And not as to bless and curse according to their warped up concept as to who'll give them money and who won't, or as to their temper, or as to their feelings, as to their dispositional changes, which is so regular, but according to a plan and a system with salvation beginning at Jerusalem, being of the Jew and being preached in the name of Jesus throughout the world. And that with this to follow the system and to do precisely the way that he has told us to do, and then the sins are remitted. To lay hands on the sick and not to consider anything after that, except that's what he said, amen. And all of his promises is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Now, so everything that we say as a rule practically is parabolic. And if we stop practically every word, we would have to unveil that word. Has it ever occurred to you that you are nothing but a vapor, and that you are nothing but vanity, and that you're nothing but the dust of the earth, and only the grace of God by his mercy, because he hath created you, that be even after you sin, he hath allowed you to hold your composure as to giving the blood upon the seat of atonement, not as to your day, as someone would say, well, Brother Pike, what happened to the others before we got here, and before this blood atonement got here? We did not get here before the blood atonement. The blood atonement got here before we did. And Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. And it was said, and where was you, Job, when the sons of God leaped for joy before the morning stars ever sang together? Or when they sang together, or that is to say, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, when the names were written down in the Lamb's book of life. So then, has it occurred to you that God saved us while we were yet in our sins? And he said, it shall come to pass that I will answer. Or he could have said, I've already answered before you ever call. That it's already done. The work's already done. The plan's already. And that you're going to move step by step as to transformation of mind from an inner source or illuminated source outwardly to those that don't have the day star within them. And you're on a pilgrimage, and you are on a journey, and you're going from one country to another country, and you're going from Egypt over to Canaan, and you may be swallowed up by the way of the wilderness as you come to the interchange. See, and in this, you come to this wonderful knowledge of God. For Solomon said, if you search and search, you will find the knowledge of truth and the knowledge of God. And once you find it, then it will be as a proof as to whether or not you are the bastard child, as to the bastard image of the beast of the old adulterous generation, or if you are a child of God, as to that one that has set your affection on things above where thieves don't break through and steal, and in that you've eradicated from your heart the world as to the love of the world and the things of the world, and you've received the kingdom of God through repentance as to a translation of your spirit into the spirit of Christ, or the kingdom of God, which is the spirit of Christ, which kingdom is within you, called the knowledge of God as to this heavenly treasure. So, in this as to the great mystery of God, for great is the mystery. Then we realize that we're nothing but dust, a little particle of dust. From the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And with the illumination, there was a Son of God in the covering of the glories we brought out this morning. And then with Calvary, after the fall from the garden, now there is within you, and there are people that are in the earth. And this that is within you is the day star of the Shekinah restored, of that illuminated image of which your spirit has been translated into, even the image of Christ in which they were made, as in their originality, and now the beginning of the creation of God, as the first brother among many brethren, in that he was there before the world ever was, all things made for him, by him, and for his pleasure, and his glory was all things made. And as to the high priest of Melchizedek that met Abraham in the valley of Shavi after the battle of the kings. And there, as I said, Levi paying tithe from the loins, even before he was ever born, as to attribute praise unto that great high priest. And that great high priest being Christ, even Melchizedek. And when Jesus was born into the world, made of a woman and made under the law, even the human body, then when he came forth in the image of sin, and the Bible says, and God spoke, saying, blessing I'll bless thee, and I have made thee, he said, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And that was an endless priesthood. Or that is to say, because his body, as to say, I do always the things that please the Father, and my body is completely surrendered as to not any reservation of desire of myself, then I am God made manifest in the flesh as to this full measure. For he giveth not the Spirit unto the Son by measure. But he said, I am pleased to dwell in this tabernacle. So in this, we find that Jesus was the Melchizedek of God, in the sense that Christ, to took the body, and the body became the same as the spirit, and the body thus received the office, even as the Son of Man. He received the office as the great high priest, which was the king of Salem, that met Abraham in the valley of Shaveh, him being the father of the faithful, and that body surrendered until eventually it was one with the great priest, the high king, the high priest of Almighty God. And today he is the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And in that he is the high priest, then he is the high priest of your confession, that if you will confess the word as to having given you all things that pertain unto life, or if you will acknowledge the word that you are no longer under the curse that was in the Old Testament, that's the Lord said, and cursed is he that continueth not in the law to do all things therein. And though you keep the law and offend in one point, you're guilty of all, and no flesh shall be justified by the law. So cursed are they that are under the law, and all that is fallen from grace. They are under the law and shall be judged by the law and condemned by the law, and they shall be punished by the law. For the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. And so that great high priest has given us all these promises, as someone has said, 32,000 promises within the book. He's given us all these promises, and here we have all these promises. But the word not being mixed with faith, it didn't do the Jews any good. And brethren, sisters, in this day that we're living in, if it's not mixed with faith, it will not do you any good. You can say, I'm a Christian for the rest of your life. You can say, well, I'm religious for the rest of my life. You know, but that's not going to do any good, because that's not what it's all about. We are saved not by works, lest any man should boast, but it is the gift of God, as to the charitable giving of his own Son, that he so loved he did that we might be saved. And in that he did, it is faith in God, and that faith is what is a halter, as to a bridle, upon our human body to help us through the power and faith and strength of his wonderful magnificence to eradicate from the body the impurities, as within my flesh there dwelleth no good thing, Paul said. To will is present, but how to perform that which is good. He said, I have to look to the body of the Lord Jesus that performed it for me in the presence of God, and that without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. And now, as to this old beast part of me that's so contrary, now it is dead, but Calvary, it's gone, it's washed away, it's buried in the earth, or that is in the water. It is buried as that which is a grave to the navy, as we say. And it is now buried, it is now dead, it is now gone, it is now no more. It is now no more, and I've washed away my sins by the washing of the water of the Word, which is the Holy Spirit to the inner man, and that will eventually change this outer man into a quickening spirit, even as the inner man is already changed into a quickening spirit. So this heavenly treasure within the earthen vessels, and is to be made manifest in your flesh at his coming, and should be made manifest in your flesh by faith, as to whatever degree, as to the strength, even Abraham strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform. So in this life should be made manifest as to your benefits of those promises, as to having given you all things pertaining unto life. And all you have to do is to believe. For as I said, as the child that's under the guardian, the Father has already put it there for you. And if there's a tight place, if you need a little along before you get to the complete ultimatum of becoming the heir, as to actually receiving your reward, while you're under tutors, pointing to the Father, you're different nothing from a child, though you be Lord of all. But if you believe, then you can get a little bit along. If you need something as a child would need, food, garments, shoes, whatever, you know, you get a little bit along until the day that you come into your sonship, as to take control of it yourself. And that's what the minister's for, and that's what the others are for. And he's given his angels charge concerning thee, that they shall bear thee up in all of thy ways, lest at any time he should dash your foot against the stone. And with this, they watch over you as a little child. So here we see that what God is saying to Moses is, Moses, I am a spirit. And from the foundation of the world, I have brought forth a tabernacle, and I have brought forth natural things. And these natural things, it is as because of the fall in the garden. And when I had men in the garden, These things were very wonderful, and these things were without sin. And God so loved the world in its wonderful state of virginity as to the paradise that he gave his son, that the world should not perish or the people should not perish, but that he should save the world and bring it back to its virginity. But he said in this, love not the world at this present time, neither the things that are in the world, for all is under the curse, for all is of the flesh. All is the lust of the flesh, and the lust and the world, the flesh, all of it passeth away, because it is the beast and Satan from the tree of knowledge is to that mind that's interwoven, using your brain as to set himself up a kingdom and to stay out of the dry places and being the rulers of the intellectual darkness, to get out of that he might reflect the light of that great wonderful light, in that one time he was in that light as a created being. But the Bible said the very day that iniquity was found within him, he was cast out. He was made the ruler of the darkness when iniquity was found within him, and served to be a great tool, as instrumentally speaking, in the creation of mankind and bringing in the wonderful kingdom, whereby God might bring about a tangible source of matter, and yet not as you would think of it in this world, as to the beast and these gullible desires as to you relating to that. See, but as to the quickening spirit of the Son of God, even Adam that was in the garden, even Christ that has made you to be so as to the spirit on the inside. But at this present time, as I said, as the illumination over Adam in the garden, so Christ took away the sins of the world, and all of the world is illuminated by the reflection. But with you, your illumination upon this outer one is just unto the time of the redemption of the body, the change is to Thessalonians coming, when he'll descend from heaven with the trump of God, and you'll be changed into that wonderful image of God, because it's just something to make you pure in the sight of God. As to take away the sins of the world, the illumination is that purification of his spirit, and that by the faith of the Son of God. Paul turned my people from darkness unto light, and to the faith by which I'm sanctified, or they are sanctified in me. I am sanctified by him as through his great spirit. And by this wonderful faith, we as Enoch are translated into the wonderful kingdom of God, the law and the prophets of John. Since that time, the kingdom has been preached. Men pressed their way into it. And the great wonderful mysteries of God is from Calvary. They are unveiled as to whatever we can reach or obtain unto, as to our study, our diligence, our search, our research, our looking, or our submission, as to our own sovereignty. So in this, it's very obvious that illumination is for the whole world. And because he hath to illuminate us, then they get the benefit of it. Or as the Jews that had to go out into the darkness having a light, but yet a lesser light, as to a light that was a dark light, in that it was a reflection as the law, which was a light. And that light as to be a moonlight, that it might reflect the light to all the world as a religious thing of salvation of the Jews, and that all the world from that might bring forth their laws, as to the laws of today taken from the laws of Moses, and as to the prosperity of today, as to the religions of today, and all these other things by the grace of God through that reflection of the Jews, and remains that way until the day that it's all over. And then as to the reflection, it will be no more, because the moon shall turn into blood, because the aggression of the Gentiles, and the city shall be trodden under feet, as to these tours and all these things you see of the churches and whatever, until the days of the Gentiles are over. And then with this, it will turn into blood, because as to that which is the great God of heaven and the great Spirit of heaven, it has come down to the earth, to Jerusalem, the great holy city, and it has come down to a human body that was there at Calvary. And from that blast of that great fire, to the consummation of the Lamb of God, as to the program of God, it has reflected from him as to the body, and now it has gone into all the world. He being born among the Jews, and the Jews being as the light in the night, in the darkness shut off from the great wonderful light of God that sprang up in that day that they could not comprehend. And so then they are the reflector as in the night, and so does the world answer to them as to whatever to the Jew, and so it is with the world. But one of these days when the aggression comes, Jesus said when he was preaching to them, and they shall dig a trench round about thee, and they shall trench thee in, and they shall lay thee even with the ground, and there shall be a tribulation upon you as to the spilling of your blood, such as was not since or before the world ever was, or since the world begun, as we would say. There is a tribulation so great and so mighty that's coming upon the Jews that they will actually turn as to a field of blood, and the blood will run up to the horse's bridle as to this devastating thing, even when the Lord comes and all of the nations around the world that relates to the Jews. See, because when they fall from their perched place as to those things that they have to hold as the reflector to the world, all of the world will be in total darkness. And right at this time, we see the great light coming now. We see the great light coming not as to the devastation of after the millennium, when everything shall be eradicated. But he said, and with the brightness of his coming as Christ within you, the hope of glory, coming back to you when the world can't see him, but he will destroy with the brightness of his coming as to the man of perdition that sitteth in the temple there, trying to make himself God within your heart, or as it will be during the tribulation period when Jesus comes with the nail prints. See, and I will eradicate that intellectual geniusy of your ever learning, that science falsely so called, that ignorance of the darkness that has blinded your eyes of understanding on the inside. See, and I will come with the brightness as from glory to glory as to the day star dawning within your heart, which is Christ. For if ye overcome, I will give you the bright and the morning star, which is Christ within your heart. So in this dawning, then the daylight is there because you are a child of the day. But as to the outer envelopment, as this tabernacle in the wilderness, so it is that it is dark on the outside. And you are intellectually engrossed by this great darkness. And this tabernacle is within the night. But nevertheless, as to the Jews showing that, and that as to the world, though the world have the reflection at this time that they appear to be light, and their religion is so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible, because they take this literal printed page and they go through the colleges. And as it was the days of Samuel when they took away the Ark of the Covenant as among the Philistines, but they didn't know how to worship it. And it wasn't long before they had all kind of diseases and all kind of plagues, and their physicians could not figure out what happened. But when they finally came to the understanding, they didn't want religion anymore. And so it's going to be that they're going to find out that there will be no healing medicines. All of their physicians can't help them. That they have taken the Ark of the Covenant and turned it into an intellectual program of foolishness. And because of this, they are sick. Because the Bible said, if you add anything to this book, the plagues of this book will be added unto you as to the revelation of the Lord. And if you take anything away from this book, then your part will be taken out of the book of life. Even to this extent that people discuss it and they talk about it and they exchange conversation, and one, he knows it, and another knows it, and another knows it, and everybody says about it as to what they will. Instead of fearing God and coming and listening to the voice of God and understanding, they give forth the words and thoughts of a fool as to their expressions and their convictions and what they think it means. So as a result of that, the whole world is sick, and they're going to give that ark back to the people of God. And the kingdoms of this world is going to become the kingdoms of God and of his Christ, because only the people of God can worship that. It was said, and let him that is holy, let him as the priesthood, even the singers also, let them be holy, let them bear the vessels of the Lord. And even down in Babylon, when the vessels were touched, Babylon was torn down as to what it is today, because they're attacking the church. See, and so America the Great is falling, and the world is falling, because they pounced on the people of God, and God is now tired of it, and now the people of God are going to put them under their feet and take over the entire world as the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that he might rule forever and forever. So here we are. As for Moses, there is a veil. Shatters, make all things according to the shatters, the type, the allegories. And then I'll send a man called Paul. I'll send the Christ. And with this, I will have him to be learned in all of the ways of the Jews, even as Moses was learned in all of the ways of the Egyptians, and even as Paul so learned as it was to carry this great work on, that even the elite of that day and King Agrippa and others, some said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that you were not almost, but altogether, even as I am, that is, as a Christian, other than these bonds by which I am bound. But God put him in prison, and there let the kings and the rulers come and listen to the testimony of this great Paul to keep the Jews from killing him through their foolishness. And in this, Paul got this great religion and salvation into the hierarchy and into the upper echelon and among the elites. And in doing this, soon it was as to Constantine and the mother religion and the vision of the cross and the crusaders and the many things, as to the religion that continued on till it become that of a reflection as to the Catholicism of the world, called the universal church. And is headed back to the same place as the sun goes down. So comes the shadows in closing in. And though there's a little glow in some instruments, yet after a while, the glow is gone, and you find out it was nothing but a reflection. For the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And when the sun withdraws, you soon will find yourself in death and darkness, because that little glow will soon become fainter and fainter, and then it will utterly pass away. And then you'll find yourself in total darkness. So this is where we're at today. As to the types, the shadows, as to that life going into that cocoon, and that as to the old serpent of the beast body and coming all down through the years, through the transitional changes, and then coming down to the end time at the end of the tunnel in Calvary, and out it comes, and there's the brightness of that great, wonderful glory and that light freed from the instrument of death. As we've said a lot of times concerning the black widow spider that's known to be in our country, there's many of them here that we killed when we come here. It seemed like the place was infested with them. But with this black widow, it is as Eve, when she turned black as to her intellectual knowledge and turned to the tree of death and left the light of that great glory, and she was then in darkness as the black widow. She swallowed up her husband by giving to him, and he was taken into the control of her, as to say the life of God was taken into control, like life in a rat with a perverted nature. And there it was, Satan had projected his perverted nature. Whereas in the day that we're living in, we're partakers of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to use this wonderful glory and life righteously, and to use it rightfully to the benefit of others, and not to a selfish means, as of to our own gullible desire, even laboring that we might have to give, or esteeming others better than ourselves, looking on the things of others to praise them in a good thing, and to seek their welfare. Well, the black widow, as we said, swallowed up her husband, because the black widow is known, as it is said, to eat her husband. And the life is swallowed up. And in the swallowing up, there was a little red spot put on her. As to the blood that was over the Jews, as to the blood spot, as to that, as to the reflection from that great, wonderful blood of Jesus that's on the seat of atonement, and from that, as to allow the life, protect the life during the time of the perverted nature. See, and this is the condition of the world today. That's why we brought it out in just a word or two concerning the pillar of fire, as over the tabernacle, and the pillar of fire that was there with them in the wilderness, and the pillar of fire that even came as far as Brother Branham, and the pillar of fire, God the great consuming fire, as the vision that we had, as to explain, would take many hours. So in this we see that Moses, this life, fallen into that, now the law came to magnify the sin and the wrong, and to show them that had died, or them that was in death, we say, as to sin and transgression of God's will, that was dying periodically, to show them, as to they that were yet alive, that this was a sinful, evil thing, that they were taken in by the control of it, and Satan was taking them in control according to his will and desire, and that with this the law magnified their sins and literally crushed the people because they could not perform. For Paul said, having no way to perform, this body of the beast, this evil one, it will not perform. Though I have a desire to do good, and inwardly I have a will, but as to find a performance, I don't know how to do it. And then came the performance of the Son of God, even his body. And now our life from Calvary is in that body. And now we are by virtue of his righteousness. Through this glory and virtue, we are now bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. As to the membership of God, as to the performance there, God looks at it daily, right at his right side. As the high priest pleads, as we confess our errors and our faults, that would be sins in abundance, but now is nothing more than a trespass. Even as they prayed, Father, forgive us our trespasses, that we forgive those who trespass against us. And all the sin that you do every day of your life, and your stumbling and staggering and foolishness, you know, this was taken away in Christ. And before you was ever born, eternal life was given to you, and you were saved from your sins, even while you were in your sins. And now you are free from sin, and the body of sin is dead, and it is gone. And the curse of sin is now gone. And now you're in the glorious liberties of the children of God by faith, because you're sealed where he cannot touch you. And as to that, as to the ugly impregnation of that, that happened there in the garden, as to causing the conception of that evil and filth of the mind of debauchery and that of fornication, then it is taken away. And in the end time, the generation of fornicators, as to the adulterers, is now showing up. And we're seeing that they're living like dogs and they're living like animals, and there is no honor among thieves as to the things that they're doing. So coming down to the end of the way, now there's a dividing asunder, there's a differentiating, and we're finding out that there are those that are adulterers, a sinful generation of mothers and daddies and daughters and sons, and all these kind of things, but there is a differentiating. There's a line being drawn. The world doesn't see it, but it is being drawn. And as to them, back to their wallowing in the mind, back to the lapping of their vomit, but as to this great mind of Christ that's within us, this wonderful hope of glory, this wonderful transformating power, we have this, and we're going on to this in its great fullness, that it might be made manifest within us. See, that the world may see that we were never of them, just like as one leaving us, that they were never of us. That we've always been the precious children of God, and without spot and without wrinkle and without blemish, and the bride of Christ that he never has allowed, even from the foundation of the world, to be spotted in any way. She is perfect, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. And the ministry is set there to preach to you that he's coming back after a church like that, even the body itself shall be holy, and the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption as to the intellectual into the glorious liberties of the sons of God by means of the great light of this enlightening that comes from the Lord Jesus, even that great wonderful light that destroys the innermost being of evil that sets in the temple of God as the brightness of his coming, the sun to the eradication of the darkness, and then it's no more. Receding to allow it to come in, that it might, as we said, concerning the negative form, this to bring us to a positive in the new world of which we see today. And these things we say in such a combat way that not being able to detail them, it makes it very difficult for anybody to understand. But the Lord has a way of making you to understand, as by the Holy Spirit on the inside. So all the way from Moses, we see then the shadows. And Paul coming into the light, once he come into the light, he looked back and he understood, I'll turn them from darkness into light. That is this veil of death from the intellectual knowledge that's fallen over them, this intellectual reasoning, the tree of knowledge, the old spirit of death and corruption. See, to be carnally minded is death. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. And I will turn them from darkness unto light, because as Saul, I am their persecutor. But as Christ, I am Paul, the great revelator. And so, bringing them to this great light, Paul said to the people, he said, and the veil is still over the face of the people. in the reading of the Old Testament as to the teachings of Moses, it is still taught that even unto my day, over the face of the people, which veil is done away with in Christ, or by this brightness of coming, the eradication, even as the sun melteth the snow, and that that's covered up under there is suddenly revealed. So when the darkness is gone, then the image is seen. As to whatever degree of the light, so is that as to the degree of the image. And as to the greatness of the light, so is the fullness of the image. And with this as coming within our heart, now we're no longer children of darkness. We're no longer caught in the night. But the Bible said we praise God who hath delivered us from darkness and translated us into the marvelous kingdom of light. Or he has brought us from the ignorance of that darkness within us that keeps us from the faith unto eternal life and the life of God. And now he's placed within us the kingdom of God. And in this wonderful light is breaking forth, that we now are not under bondage as to the bonds child of that, as to our human senses, which relates to the natural things that emanated from God. We're not caught with the gullible desires of our passions and our flesh. We've grown up from the children of the world, and we don't run after the body and the intermingling as to the gendering of mankind, as to that without wedlock and to the foolishness of the world. And we don't wander after the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, and the desire of things as to forms and images of the world, or as to monetary values that's in the world, or as to the riches and the treasures of that bond child, as to being something great in the world, as to being among the elite, or being rich, or being a celebrity, or being a dignitary. We could care less about that, even as the prophets that lived in the cave. But humbling ourselves, coming down and condescending to men of low estate, not interested in being high-minded, but just being simple and living a sober life, the common people heard him gladly when he brought the gospel. He said, the rich have their reward. How hardly shall they enter into these wonderful glories of God? So all the way down this has been until Calvary, and then the veil was rent, and then the church ages. And when the stone that came, when the prophet said, and the cornerstone shall come, even the Lord Jesus, that everything headed up in the prophet like unto Moses, even from that time that Moses wrote of the garden all the way to Calvary, Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of every ordinance. He never transgressed one ordinance, not one, during his whole life of all that the Old Testament held. And that in the behalf of you, that his spirit might come into your body, that his body might be the head of many members, and that one life of that spirit that fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle that took away the law and the transgression, as to eliminate the curse, to bring you the emancipation of proclamation, as to the freedom, even as to the black man when it came through Abraham Lincoln, which was a great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus suffering so much when Abe made the statement that if I could share my sorrow with people, everyone in the whole world would have some of it. Never would have dreamed that a man like Abe Lincoln, the great, outstanding idol, as it would be to the world, that would be in that kind of condition. But through suffering, always the great things come. As to Paul, I will show you the great suffering. As to the church, deny yourself, mortify the deeds of the flesh, put the outer man down. Don't go to this movie star trinity sort of a thing that they've got. Don't go to this charismatic thing that they've got. Be holy in body and spirit, because those people are reflectors, and they are enjoying the blessings of God, and the Spirit is poured out upon them as in the latter times, and the terror is dancing and praising as to the rain, because it is the life that keeps them alive as well as us. But their nature is perverted, and our nature is not perverted, and we are partakers of the divine nature, but they are of their father the devil, and his will they do, and they're not known by their shouting or their speaking in tongues or all the things that they're doing, all their prophesying. They're not known by that. They are known by their deeds. The child is known by his deeds. So then be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever your practice is, wherever your desire is, wherever your works are, your ambition, whether it be in the flesh or in the world, as to your human image or as to that God image as which we are in the mind of God, as he looks across the chasm of time and the death of this world and the valley of these shadows, and there seeing us as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ complete in him. So in this we can tell that now Calvary, the true light shineth. Now the day star is dawning in your heart. And now is a more sure word of prophecy as to the unveiled to understand better than the prophets did. And now we have come to the mount of God, not as that burned with fire where Moses exceedingly trembled, but rather Paul says as to the great mount of God, even the church of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth, wherein the spirit of just men as to the justification by the faith and works of the Lord Jesus are made perfect, as to be sanctified once and for all by the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary, and there to be perfected or made perfect forever, as to being able to keep ourselves by that Christ, that seed, that word, that life, that virtue, that faith, that conviction on the inside that the evil one never touches us, that we in the sight of God, this body being dead and that being our body performance, now we're without spot, we're without wrinkle, without blemish. And now the ministry is perfected to this extent. The church, by preaching the word of God and faith as to the translation as Enoch, and bringing you to the wonderful understanding of your righteousness as faith in him, and believing unto righteousness as to your confession of salvation by the high priest, and as to whatever you say, thus you shall have. You confess it, you believe it, and then he automatically has given it to you as all things that pertain unto life before you was ever born into the world, for you heard before you ever called. So that means that now as you come to this, there's going to be a change, and the creature is going to be changed. Having bore the image of the earthy as to Adam, and Adam all die, will bear the image of the heavenly. For if this tabernacle be dissolved, as Peter said, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, as to the body of the Lord Jesus, which is the second Adam, which is in the spirit, as we have borne this in the flesh. So again, I say, it's very evident that the preaching was as to reveal to you the mind of the purpose before the world ever was, and that measure by measure, and glory to glory, and virtue to virtue, until it is fully within you as to the maturity of the Lord Jesus Christ, as to when the child is formed, we travail till the birth and the opening of the matrix. So that goes to Calvary, to the rent veil, is to your recognition. And we tell you that you are moving toward perfection as the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints through the making known of the wonderful mysteries of which it is not given to the world to know, because the veil, even the veil over the face of the people that Paul spoke of as the Jews, still are over the minds of the people today, even that intellectual veil of death. Now let me say this in trying to find a place to close here, because we talked quite a little bit. When Moses got the mind of God, then he was God. When Jesus came with the mind of God, then he was God. And when you receive the mind of God, then what will you be? For every time through the transformation, something is happening. As to the ministry, and if I was going to translate this Bible, and I started as to 5 pages and 10 pages and 50 pages and on to half of the book, then half of the book would be translated as to these words, as to these thoughts, as to another thought. Whatever language. And as I talk to you and the transformation of mind takes place because of the translation in your spirit, it is going to manifest itself in a transfiguration as your face shining, even as wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. When this life and light is coming out of you, as it was at Stephen's when they beheld his face as that of an angel or that of a spirit. In heaven I make my angel spirits, or Jesus standing on the mountain between Moses and Elijah, and the Bible said that his illumination as to the woman that was there in Revelation 12 seen on the mountain, as to that illumination as relating back to America, if we brought out the present day truth. See, this wonderful glory of God that will be made manifest in your being as to the glory of God, because you are heir to it because of him who was made heir to it, and he alone, and he is your hope of that glory. So in this, I say this little thing to you. As to a parabolic thing over in the Old Testament, when the harlot, the two harlots, there as to the harlots in the night, there they had children with them. And these little children was with them through the night. Their little babe was with them. And during the night, one of the harlots smothered the little one to death. And that is what a lot of people have done. They have been given this grace, even as to a dispensational thing, that they might be partakers as to let whosoever will. And yet, this Christ, they have smothered him to death. Out in the darkness, Solomon said, he is standing at the heart's door, as we would say in our day, knocking, asking that whosoever openeth unto him, I'll come in and sup with you. And he was there in the night of the intellectual darkness of our thinking of today, as we would say, as allegorically speaking, since Paul said it is made according to that was shown in the mount. And in this, we find him with the drops, the dewdrops, or it is said, the drops of the night in his locks. Or he is out in the dew of the morning. And the drops of the night, you've forced him out, you've left him outside. Though he knocks, he asks us to come in. And he said, you will not come to me that you might have life, though I be the Prince of Life. And I've come that you may have life abundantly filled up and overflowed, and that without respect to person. And I am your righteousness, as not because you're good, but because I'm good, or God is good. None good but the Spirit through this body of flesh that was made God. And as the man recognized it, he said, good master. So in this, we realize that our goodness is of him. And if we be righteous and holy as he is holy, it's because of him that is made manifest within us. Even as the leavening as to sin leaveneth the whole lump, so does the light transfigure the body to the fullness of his glory. And in this, the babe was smothered to death as in the days of Solomon. And Solomon had a problem. He was the great man of judgment, the great man of wisdom, none like him in all the land. And he had to settle the dispute between the two harlots because the babe had been smothered to death by one mother. And during the night, this mother had gotten up and taken the babe of the other mother and placed the dead babe by the mother who had the living child. And the one that smothered the babe to death took the living child, put the dead child over by the mother to whom the child really belonged. So in this, we find that when the time came for them to be judged, the mother pleaded her cause as to the judge of that day or as to the law of the courts. And she said, this woman smothered her child, and then she took my child. And the harlot as to the killer said, nay, but this is my child, and she smothered her child. And then Solomon, he did not know what to do, being just a mere man. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know. Honest God should make him to know. He did not know. But by the great gift of wisdom is that God has given unto you, even in this day, even a greater than Solomon is now here. Even a wonderful, great Holy Spirit is given unto you to know all things through the mind of Christ. Everything you can know by faith in God. And so then, when Solomon started to judge, he said, bring, as we would say, the machete, the sword, whatever. And it was brought. And Solomon said, now take the child, divide the child in half, and give as to one part, and give as to the other part. And then when he brought this and was about to execute the child, as it would appear to those, the mother who loved the child screamed out and said, oh no, no, let her have the child. No, don't kill it. But see, the widow as to the harlot that had killed her child did not care for the child. And Solomon said, give the child to the mother that pleaded the cause of the child. That's where the love is. That belongs to the mother. And so then when we see the revelation of it, we know then that this old harlot of today, though she acts like that she loves the little Christ, yet she doesn't. She loves the world. And in the darkness of her intellectual reveling and the lust of her flesh and the gullible desires, she is smothering the little Christ to death, and she is taking him to the cross, and she is crucifying him afresh, and she is putting him to an open shame. For once coming to the preaching of our day and the knowledge of the truth, it will bring the end of the world. For it is impossible to renew you again under repentance, once you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you reject it, seeing that you crucified to yourself Christ afresh and put him to an open shame. As you continue in your bodily ego toward the old beast and the lust and the covetous of the world and the desire of the world. Some of you are given to appetite. And the Bible said if you be given to appetite, put a knife to your throat, because that's all you live for, as the old serpent on his belly, to get to a cafe, to eat, to drink. Even on Sunday morning, some of you cannot rest. Your whole thoughts of life is to buy, sell, eat, drink, because you need to put a knife to your throat if you sit at the king's table. Now, blessed is a country or a nation. The Bible said when their king eats for strength, and he's not a partying man that's always wanting to eat and drink for parting. That's great wisdom and understanding in the king. So we see with the dividing asunder, the old harlot says, divide it up. You can have the Pentecostal, you can have the Baptist, you can have the Methodist, you can have the, as we would say, the great whole that's set upon many waters, as long as you let us have our part of it over here. For they know that as the thief in the night that took the child, that they are trying to get to that life so that they can claim it in the end time, and that through the law, because they are church over state. We are church under state, and so then they come down upon us, though it's supposed to be church of separation as church of state and state, yet they do lord over us. So it's only separation of church and state when we want something of the state. But it is not when they want something of the church. So when the old harlot saw that, as we say in the Old Testament, you don't get an inheritance unless you have a son, Christ within you, that hope of glory. And as to the woman, as to the daughter-in-law that played the harlot in the time of Judah and feigned herself to be a harlot, by the way, and when Judah went in under her, and then afterwards she was found with child, and Judah would have burned her at the stake, and she had taken of him the pledge of the bracelet and the staff, and he'd come back to get it, to give her money, and there was no harlot. They said, there is no harlot in this place. And then when the time come as to the birth of the child, Judah said, let her be stoned, because that was the policy of God. That was the rules of God. And out of Judah comes the Lion of as to the tribe of Judah. And this has to do with spiritual significance, even as the two, as to the twins that was born, Zarephathus. So, and of course, tying the little thing about the arm. But in this, we see that when Judah wanted to kill her, she showed these things that she had. She had that ring, she had that staff, or she had that had to do with your protection that comes from you to God, even as Joseph's coat of many colors when it was the body of the Lord Jesus, as Joseph rend his hand from the woman that said, lay with me, and as Jesus that rend himself as from the human body when this harlotry of the world laid hold on him, and his coat of many colors, as was said, the blood of a beast, and sufficing Jacob, as to which we had the time to say whatever it is in detail so that we'd understand better what we're saying. As to the sins of many nations, as to the black and the white and the yellow and the red and whatever, as he rend himself out of his garment, and he left the garment in the hand, as to this old worldly garment, and yet the coat of many colors, as to the blood on the seat of atonement, as to what we would have to say, bringing back the Shekinah of the glory. Now, when the harlot realized that her child was dead, she didn't have any inheritance. She didn't have nothing to suffice her. And to get the other child so that she would, that was it. As to Judah, the daughter-in-law realized she did not have a son. She was promised a son that spilt the seed upon the ground, and God killed him because he refused to raise up seed unto his brother. That is, it was said in the Old Testament, to marry the widow, that the widow might have an inheritance, and that the brother's wife might not be without food and raiment and whatever. And so then God killed him, and then the younger son was promised to her. But when time came for the younger son, Judah had forgotten. Judah had overlooked it. And she knew that she was left without food or anything else. Just as harlots of today. Some of them were fine girls, but they sold their body, as the Bible said, some their children for a glass of wine, and sold their virtues. And the world has given the most beautiful, glorious thing as to the virtue, even that brought Jesus into the world. as to the Virgin Mary, and is turned into the foolish virgins. And the virtue, which was that was far beyond the price of rubies, they have given the best for the lesser, or for the least, and they've traded the glories and wonderful gifts of God, and now they're dying because they did not have the proper evaluation, and they did not give the right priority as to what should have received priority. And so then this woman, she knew that she was left without anything. And as the Bible said, we being into that condition, yet we're looking under the line of the tribe of Judah, being in that condition as to the twins, and one of them as unto, we say, two harlots. You are in the harlot body of Eve, as in Adam, all die, as well as the world is in the harlot body, and all die. But one has protected its little child, because it is not a child as to harlotry. It is the seed of life. But the woman, as to the flesh, is still in the image of harlotry, because it appears that way, because they fell in the harlotry. But God, the great judge, is watching, and he knows as to when the daylight comes, I will despise your image. And so then, though you live, yet you're dead in trespasses and sin. That is to say, you that have not had as to the seed of righteousness, but that as of corruption. So when he said divide the child, then the inheritance would have gone as to a divided thing. But folks, when they crucified Jesus, they could not find any seams in his robe. So, as history says it, so we know then that he is not divided, but as to a secular thing, even as a Caesarean, as to dividing, and there the child coming forth at Calvary, and then there is a 1, 2, 3, as secular speaking, as to the divisional thing, and as to a Trinity, because that's all they know, as to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, in their concept, not knowing the revelation, but as in Jesus' name, it's always taught one God, one faith, one baptism, as to the kingdom of God, and Jesus the entrance, as to that doorway, and not until 325 A.D. was it ever found, as to that little place in nice Germany, as there when they changed the thing to the Trinity, and when this thing through Paul, as to Constantine and the mother, and much we'd have to say about history, when it got into the hierarchy. See, and so then it has to do with the crown, the priest coming here, and many other multiplied thousands of things that would have to be said, as even during the 20 years that you've been here, that many of you being dull of hearing did not even perceive of many of the multiplied things that the Spirit said to you. As to the Spirit, say unto the church, let him hear if he hath an ear. So we find that we're at that divisional moment. We've come to Calvary, and at Calvary, the great judge, it appeared as to a secular thing. It appears as to a Trinity thing. But as it was when Samson pulled down the pillars, so then Christ, eyes to the law and the prophets, till Christ. After that, he said, one tabernacle. Hear ye him. He's the fulfillment of all of this, and the 3,000 restoration of the righteous as to the 3,000 lost as in the days of Samson. So we know then that we are not a harlot. We know that our child is not of harlotry. And we know that the child belongs to us, but as I said, the Philistines of that day taking the Ark of the Covenant. They've taken it to themselves, and they have intellectual doctors. They have doctors of medicine. They have doctors of divinity. They have doctors of the law, as it was in that day. And the Lord said, woe unto the doctors and the lawyers, which meant the doctors as lawyers of that day. See, and here we are in the presence of God. We have the child. We are going to bear the child, and we're bringing it forth, and this is the time of it. Because as Mary, heavy with child, was delivered at the time of the taxing. And now as to the IRS, if you'll check back, you'll find that numbers of years ago, I said at the time of the birth of the child, that the IRS and the taxing will come down heavily upon the church, which they had never taxed the church before. But now the taxes, even out here since we've been out here. And see, with this, then this thing is moving. I can't go into it, but just as to kind of a dit, dot, dash, or a little bit here and there. going over to the old country or back to Europe and bringing in the United States of Europe. I say again, as to the German mark at 8 points, and yours dropping here as to your medium of exchange, as to the prime rate of interest down to less than 4 or 3, a little over 3. And now they say as to the frustration, it's fixing to drop again, which means America going, being at the head of the Western Alliance all those many years, see, almost 50 years, and now she is no more. And as to Gorbachev, and as to the star falling, as to the dragon, and they projected that in the paper. But see, it wasn't just as to the star falling as Mr. Bush went up. As to even this, that of the illumination of the woman that's over in Japan, wish we had plenty of time to talk about it. See, but the thing is, it said that when Lucifer went out, he curled his tail around a third part of the stars and they went out with him. But the paper didn't give that, but that's the way it is. And that's what will bring the repercussion. So then, and I said as to the heavens, as they projected Russia to be, in that it was one time ally with America and has come back to that place. And then as to the red star of communism falling, for the Bible said, and I saw the star fall from heaven. And in that this fell down to earth, it was that those leaders and heads, through fear prior to this, sought an asylum among the Chinese people as to the old dragon. And now communism is now the old dragon. Whereas it was, as we say, John saw it in heaven. And so it is in heaven, and so Satan is in heaven, and so is the people in heaven, so is his stars. As we say, as to the bright stars, so is as the moon, as we bring it out in Revelation. There's the star of nickel and rock, as scientists have proved, and they are reflectors, and as to the moon, it is a reflector, and this thing will happen, as to blood, and to the red dragon, as to the casting out, and those stars to fall. Even as in the church, so it would be in the spiritual realm. If we had time to go into it, and a little of it we brought out in the thunders, the book of the thunders. So war in heaven. So out goes Lucifer. And with that, a third part of the stars. Now, if that be true, and the man child has been caught up, and Lucifer has gone out, now has come power. As to what power? A unification of world power as to the symbolics. All of the visible, showing the invisible, or the invisible understood by the visible from the creation of the world. So then, if it's gone out, Lucifer's gone out, now it is the dragon, as in the earthly perspective, which means China, the sleeping giant, as in the darkness. And now it is out of the world of light as to Satan being in heaven. And now Satan is gone out because the man-child has gone up. And now the old dragon as to them that are out yonder, as to the generation of vipers, as to the blood life, as to that of the union of the flesh, the old red dragon, the intellectual, now it is the dragon nation, as Mr. Bush hit that and cut off their supplies as to China when this thing happened before, as the murderous people when they rolled over their people, even with their tanks, and that doesn't mean all of them's bad, there's some wonderful people there, but as to that evil one of the communistic, reckless side, and would not listen to anybody, and took the bullets from the guns, killed the people, even the college students, and then took and sent the bill as to charging the price of the bullet against the mother and daddy to make them pay for the bullet. See, and then this wall, as you see, coming from when you come from the moon, it's to the astronauts, the first thing you see is that great wall, even as you see the wall around Jerusalem. Now the dragon is ready, for the communistic head is entered in. And now communism is no more as to those nations, the Soviet Union. But now that is back as to America, as to the ally, to that extent at this time, as to what yet is to happen concerning the Germans. But the wall broken down between East German and West German, now the communists has intermingled with the other part of Germany. And now, as to the resurrection and what we said it would be at the breaking of the Iron Curtain, and many things would have to be said to explain what we're trying to tell you. See, but the thing is, the dragon did go out, and the heads did go down into China. And the communistic dragon is now ready, to consolidate the whole kingdom, as Gorbachev tried to get them to do while he was in power, and they would not do it. But now, as to taking those that are communists and being the leader and the head now, through these that sought asylum throughout the world, they will confiscate. And now, through that, the third part drug down to the earth. And even though they appeared to be as of the nation and of the united forces, or as of obeisance to this great, wonderful country, not so. And with the uniting of these kind of things and coming together, the old dragon is now back to the earthly perspective. And as to the 490 years determined upon the people by the angel, as to the prophetical utterance as given to Daniel, and 483 of it fulfilled at Calvary to take away our iniquity. The church age is opening, and with that, the penetrating light of the seven candlesticks, as to that wonderful glory of that capstone that came, Jesus crying, "Grace, grace," when the Lord struck it with his force and the light refracted into the seven-dimensional beautiful colors that form the rainbow from Calvary all the way over to the seven candlesticks in which Jesus was standing, as to the mist, or to say sitting on the throne, and round about him was the seven candlesticks, and above him was the throne, as to the angel with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea, and his hand raised to heaven, swearing by him that time should be no more, and Jesus being lifted up as that great angel to the Jews, because they did not know him as Jesus, because they had not recognized him as the Messiah. They seen him in the Old Testament as the angel, as the great and mighty angel. So then his head up in the heavens and a rainbow about his head. Very evident that all of eternity was taken in as to Calvary and the fullness of time and everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything in the sea, the heavens, the earth, and the seas as to which God created. And in the fullness of time there was gathered into the sun. And as to the thunders, that I'd love to say something about, as to the seven thunders, as to the war in heaven, as to where thunder comes from, as in Revelation 12. As showing the expulsion when Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And then the Holy Spirit came and he said, "Now has come power. Not to the world, not to the Jew, but to you. And will be manifest as to the Jew." As when the earthly perspective comes back in, as to the 7 years of tribulation coming back to the 483 to make the total of the 490 upon the earthly perspective. Because from the 483 over to the seven, it is the heavenly, as to those penetrating lights that comes down in the church age message. Just as seven dimensional steps, or as we said, as from Calvary, whereas the serpent fell so low as coming into grace, and then though thou climbest up to heaven, making thy nest among the stars, even as the Apollyon, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell, even as that that went down into the sea that represents the bottom of the pit, and as to that, as from the black sea, where these ships are right now concerning Russia, as to the bottomless pit and as to the black hole that they speak of that's in the heavens, scientifically speaking. So in these few scattered remarks, very scattered remarks, then what do we see? The Euphrates, we find now the great river that's going to be dried up. And we see this as Revelation speaks of a river that will be dried up and make way for the kings of the east. We know even Marco Polo, we know that as to his journey to the east, even as to the time of the spices and the teachings in school, we know what this means. So China, as to what the Bible speaks of those thousands and multiplied thousands and hundreds, tens of thousands and 10 times 10, those that will come up as to out of the bottomless pit. We know that this has to do with China. Never awake the sleeping giant, it is said. And so that with that now it is intermingled with the seed of Gog and Magog as the head, that of Russia. And all of this gathering together and out of the image as to this Trinity thing, as out of the reflection. And there will go forth out of the image of the beast, the dragon, the three unclean spirits. Like frogs into all the world, working miracles, going to the elite, looking for money, showboys, whatever, to gather together all of the religious people of the world and some of the true people being caught in it. But through their religious fanaticism, because the rain is upon them and they prophesy. And sure, it's the Holy Spirit, even as Saul, that had murder in his heart when he went up to Ramah Gilead to kill David. See, and so we prophesied in your streets, they said, many mighty works. But Jesus said, there never was a conception. I never knew you. The Bible said Adam knew his wife and she brought forth a son. I never knew you, though they reflected the glory, the blessing, the love of God. But this love was never made manifest as through Christ Jesus, as the charitable seed under conception that brought forth the image. And as a consequence of that, there never was a travail in their life. There were just religious people wanting all the blessings and the prosperity and the prestige and everything else in the world. And when the light went out, they found themselves in poverty. And then the proof as to whom the child belonged, it was there through the wonderful revelated ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ, as it proved when it was brought forth as to what was right, as to when Peter went out as the gospel to the Jews and him going out on his head, as history says, to show that when Paul withstood him, that he had withdrawn back to the Jews and the Jews to represent the fall, and that with Peter as to the first papacy, the old serpent has set up that thing in the earth as the religious fanaticism of the Catholic Church, and as to the Protestant harlots that came out through the Martin Luther thing. Even though light of the evening time is the first church, there as it was in Jesus' name is still here. Yet these things as to the differentiating, as to the judging of the great voice of God to say as thus, and the child is known by his doing. As to differentiate as to who is a harlot and who is not a harlot, as to so close it would deceive the very elect if it was possible, which it is not. So then that means that the end of the world is here and the old dragon is on his way to these spirits that will call all of this together as to their religious leader, Antichrist, and their religious armies and their religious conviction to come against the Jew, which they will call heretics, as they killed him in the Holocaust. And they will call them heretics just as soon as Joseph is taken out of the picture. As to America, everything is finished allegorically. As to that, and then Benjamin comes into this place and the great tribulation. So we could go on and go on and explain as to what will be the outcome of it or how it will come about. But just as to this much, we know that these things have happened. We know that these things are happening. Someone would say, how do you know? Because as in heaven, so in the earth. And all of the heavenly things are understood by the earthly things. And if there is an earthly transition of that as to taking place, it means, as I said to the people, do you see these things in heaven? As to the great spirit that we watch, and he interprets these things to us, and we convey them to you that you might know, as to a reflection, you can hear but not conceive, therefore you'd never understand. But the righteous shall understand, and the wicked shall not understand. And in that you do understand, it will bring a transformation of your mind as to the diplomacy of life. And in bringing the diplomacy of life, it will automatically change your body into the glorious image. And there the child will be presented to you as that that is alive, even the very image itself, as the mother, as the bride, as the husband, as the great judge, and the Christ. That is the hope of glory within your life. This life being made manifest in your mortal genes. So we're coming out of the darkness in the daytime. I'll despise your image. The morning stars. Now the day star. Now the sun. The day star. The light. The bright light. I will despise your harlot image in the morning. Because you are a harlot. I will despise your lies and your theft as to take all that belong to the woman that was deserving and that had cared for her little one during the dark. So folks, as we could go on and go on saying these things to explain it a little better, you need to take heed to what you hear and how you hear it. And you need to wake up, because you're going to find out that you won't have any life. That you won't have any life. You're dead while you live in the darkness of your intellectual life, and the love of the world's there. And you're going to come to that in the morning as to a resurrection both of the righteous and the unrighteous, and as a translation of the righteous after the millennium, the wicked, but they'll come forth to judgment and be cast into the lake of fire. And there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, let's stand together. Just a few scattered remarks for you to think on. for you to discern the signs of the time, for you to look at and define as to your intellectual reasoning, as to a reflection that will soon be gone and all scramble up as to a state of confusion, or as to the mind of Christ within you that makes you know all things, and even as the unction to know all things, to have not as a will worship of human ego, as to that of Cain, as to the old tree of knowledge, but as to an unction, as to the Holy One from within, that the love of God constrains you unto these wonderful things in which you are delighted, because this gives us the desires of our heart. And you come to church, and you come to church, and you come to church. But folks, going to church can be very boring. But coming to church, if you are a child of the King, and every time you come, you are told of your magnificence, of your glory, of your splendor, of your riches, of your greatness, of your power, of your regime, of your coming glory, you'll never get tired and it'll never be boring. But others that are on their bellies, the old serpent, and given to appetite and to businesses and security and natural things, and investing all that they've got in something so that the belly can be secure, or they can be secure with the dollars and in monetary value, as to serve the dollar, in that ye are a servant of mammon, but there's two gods, is money. And there's God, and you can't serve both. You will cleave to one and hate the other. And in that you're given to the monetary side of it, as to that that answers to all things in the natural. So then it's very obvious that when the European market comes in, as to what we could say a lot about, that with this German mark that doesn't seem to devaluate, while others are up and down, having chosen that even for this year to bring it to a completion, by the end of 92, it will be the world exchange as to a medium of exchange. It's already been published in the paper. I've already read it. And so it will be. And they've ironed out everything, got everything pretty well, ironed out a few little things here and there. And the nations, collectively speaking, will come together as the great whore that had control over these, as when the world was back, as to the old world, we say, on the other side of the ocean, before the new world was discovered. In this, we can see the mark of the beast coming. Many years ago, I said, before they'd ever start anything concerning it at all, I said, the Lord dealt with me. The mark of the beast is on its way. And it will come in through the social security number. And it will soon be that things will have to come under that number. And so then, since then, they bring the license under that number. Since then, they bring the dog tag that's on the arms of the enlisted men, as to the soldiers under that number. And all of the other things, they've gradually brought it under that number. And now, number after number has been eliminated until it is your social security number, which they're now putting in the hands of a little child, as far as I know, and that as to a laser source, like we said it would be. And it will be as to the hands and be as to the head, and not seen except exposed by the laser. And this coming in, I said it will then be that the money will become worthless, which shortly after that it did. And then it will be as to throw it to the bats, because if it's worthless, it's no good, and America's on the verge of doing it. And with this, many things that we could say as to the monetary values, but this one thing is that it will go from that social security number as having been printed on a card, using the card and bringing the cards and all of these other things under it, even as to buying gas right here in Monroe with it now, just slip the card in. And it will come to the card, and then from that as to a world monetary medium of exchange, all of a sudden this will happen. And we spoke of the German mark, and we spoke of the mark of communism, and we spoke of the German as to this great monster that was Hitler, and how that was to be the super race, and how that the thing failed. And then now West Germany coming back, it is said that Germany is flexing her muscles now, and that France doesn't like it, because they can see that the old beast is on the rise, and they're afraid that it's going to come forth. And Martin Luther as to the Lutheran way of life. Being in Germany, they become very wise before other people, even as Abraham took civilization as to understanding to the Egyptians. And being those people out of that spring, Martin Luther is a German monk. Germans, the stronghold of the Catholic as to the old harlot of the great Torah. And as to the Antichrist rising up, and as to Hussein still threatening and being allowed to live and turning toward the Jews again. And that is a religious source claiming to have religion, or looking to the Muslims as to get control of them to prove he's the great white rider that should come, as to get his strength and force. And with that, Russia having stood behind them, even as we said, that they won't help them in the war, and you'll find out they're behind them. And then finding out that Russia, Germany is coming together in a coalition. See, and with this, that they are the persecutors as to the Holocaust, as to the gas chambers and whatever. And now they are coming together again. Now you say, well, what does all that mean? It means that if the monetary thing moves back to the German mark, then the Bible says, as to the rich, they will be taken under this as to the poor, the same as the poor. And it is said right now that IRS is confiscating and demanding that even the rich pay up, which they're not able to do, because they are rich in goods, but not in dollars. And the government has evilly taken it, stolen it away, even as to the security of the social benefits, even as to the aged. And there's a great stir of it because they have undermindedly took the money as the playboys and the devils of the world. And they've squandered it. And America's broke. She's ruined. And when one little bit starts falling and people get to digging, they're going to find that there's no foundation and all of it's going to cave in. See, so with this as to the monetary value already determined, and that as to the nation of Germany, because it has held its own. As to that, then it is said you'll not be able to buy nor sell. As to this mark going into your hand, even as to Antichrist making craft to prosper, as we spoke of it in the past, doing away with the paperwork and the many offices and the people that would have to carry on the paperwork, bringing it to the computerized number and condensing as to save or as to a conservation. This way of conserving, and then when the depression is here and the recessions, and all of a sudden, with this kind of thing, Antichrist moves in and brings a centralization as to the establishment of the United States of America and all foreign trade, including the Jew, to that one point to establish the place that Revelation speaks of all the Danish when it's bombed and our desolation in 1 hour, and now it's taken away all the goodies when the merchants of the great merchants of the world, as even them that in great ships that bring it in stand afar off, casting dust upon their heads, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that great city is fallen. Even as Hussein is over there now around that natural Babylon, as we said, and Jimmy and the plains of Dura and Gorbachev invited over, and Jimmy being at the parade over there, and as you're saying, publishing that little thing as the corn as to Nebuchadnezzar on one side and him on the other side. See, and all these things conglomerated together, that would take a long time as to indoctrinate you with the details of it. But with this, as the old dragon, Babylon is on the way as to the rise. And yet she is to fall as to this dimension of third power. And it is to come up on its way back as from the Jew through Italy to America, from here to Italy back to the Jews. And as to the three stages as it comes and as it goes. So in this, in going back, once the German mark is accepted, all the rest of them will come under that as to first these as to the 12 nations. And with that, the foundation. And from that, all the other nations, because a third part of the stars fell. See, so as to the beginning, there it will be. And many things it would take hours to say, even from this point of expression. See, and going right on, there is the United States of Europe, and then the mother of harlots, as through the intellectual tree of knowledge, the brilliance of the German, taking control now, Gog and Magog, as that as the West and East Germany all coming together after those people have been tutored as to such. And God let the walls fall as we predicted they would, because he did not need as Gog and Magog anymore as a nation called the Soviet Union. He needed an interwoven and an intermingling to bring about the old dragon, that there would be some in every part of the world, as when China rises up, that everything would be said to confiscate, to make one great army, as to the Bible said, who can make war against him, as to his power and to his control. See, who can make war against him? He controls all the world. One word in all of them comes together, and they go in against Jerusalem. And we'd like to say something about the covenant. I started to tonight, but I backed off as to what this will be as to the translation of the church, which is at hand. So, in that it will be the German mark, it is said, that you cannot buy or sell unless you take the mark. And indeed, you could not. If the medium of exchange is the German mark, then how can you buy or sell unless you have the mark? If that is the world medium of exchange. And how is it that it can be any other way except through a number? Because, beloved friend, you're already numbered. You're already numbered. As to the computer, they know all about your life. All about your life from the time of your birth. And you're already in the numerical fashion. And you're already under that, and it's all condensing down to your social benefits. As to a social security number. And then it's gone as to this thing is to the mark. It's moving on as to the computer and the great thing of Brussels, and as to the monster that they speak of there, and moving on to the papacy, who has the money, who will confiscate. And as your bank, the one that invests the most is the controlling factor of the money. And so then she's confiscated the money by the rich. Now the rich men can't pay up. And in that they can't pay up, it's the little system that we said would cause communism as to a capitalism conversion. Whereas the government lending money to the banks that lends money to you, that Solomon said the borrower is debtor to the lender, and everything will come under the control of the government, even as paying farmers to let their land lay waste, to get control. And now all things under the government, which government is turned over into the hands of Satan to go to the foreign country, as to Germany, on the second stride before it comes to the world power of the universal and eternal Son of God in his throne, which is in Jerusalem. Even the little building that we got is denoting this thing, as to the babe born in Bethlehem. So that means that everything is right at hand, even the calendar dates, even the mark, and all they have to do is bring your number. As to the social security number, all they have to do is bring that under the control of what they say that they have found to be the only number that can have a supreme control over computers as to handle all the rest. And they say the number is 666. And so then, that as to the papacy, the Bible said, who within his up here in the head, he said, and this man's number is 666. Vicarius, Philia, D.I., or instead of Christ, or the Pope, His Holiness, or Peter, as to that, as to the those that have the keys to the kingdom, as to the kingdom. And much could be said about that, as to the revelation of God-given understanding and light that He's trying to get to the church. See, and so then in this we find that the Pope will come and he'll confiscate, he'll take control, and everything will answer back to Papa through the harlot and the great daughters, that is, the whores. Now, where are you at? Where am I at? Where are we found? I'm trying to close you and trying to hurry it along. See, where are we at? Where are you at? Someone would say, Brother Pike, where are you at? I'm in heaven. Where are you at? And Jesus said to the Son of Man who is in heaven, and I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I'm from heaven. I went back to heaven. I'm still in heaven. Jesus was always in heaven. So as to the innocency of a little child, where are you at? And John was sent as a man of God sent from heaven to tell you about these wonderful things. Let's sing a little chorus together. Can we? Let all do whatever they can, whether it be in the ministry or whatever, to the repentance as to souls and conversion as to preaching by the foolishness of preaching. But on the other hand, let us remember that will not translate the church, nor does it have anything to do with the translation of the church. It is as to the ministry, and a lot of times to the sorrow of the minister because of magnifying himself. Even though he does have a right to partake of those natural things, Paul said, seeing that I've sown unto you spiritual things, am I not partakers of your carnal things? If others are partakers, am I not the more? And that ye should render as unto all the needs of the minister, seeing that they that wait at the altars are partakers with the altar. But Paul said, I've used none of these, but trying to labor with my hand, as we have tried to do, except for those that willingly, let whosoever will, that has chosen to project the gospel and be a part of the wonderful things of God, is to go into all the world and preach the gospel, even as Jesus the head, and we be the memberships, as to this charge to be about the Father's business. So let's sing a little chorus together. Let's sing I Love Him. Can you stand with me as we sing I Love Him? I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Trusting in the word divine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, all things that pertain unto life. Words of spirit and life.
I'm trusting His
word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. The altars are open as we sing these little courses. And if you'd like to come, you're welcome to come. Someone would say, well, why give altar call, Brother Pike? I told you that one time I did not in my younger ministry. And at the door, someone met me and said, why not, Brother Pike? I wanted to come to God. And it tore me to pieces, and I purpose in my heart that whether you want to come or not, there's somebody that may want to come. And usually there is, even of the saints that want to renew their vows, and they get kind of low in spirit and whatever. So we give the altar call. And if you cannot wait at those times and you feel pressed to go, you're welcome to go. But to them that will bear with us as to the altar call, then great is the reward. As it was said, I say, take away God's time, He'll take away your life. And He'll take away years from your life as to disobedience, shortening your days. And to give time to God, and as it was in the days of Hezekiah, and back when the man had 15 years added to his life, and a lot of time seeing people 80 and 90 years old and still going, their strength is their day, still agile, still very sharp and alert in mind. A lot of times you find out that they gave some time to God. So as we sing, let's sing together and just worship the Lord for just a few minutes. There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, precious Spirit,
sweep over my soul. For my rest that is complete, while I sit at your feet, oh sweet Savior, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in your haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild storm indeed, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee every hour. I need thee, I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, I need thee. Sing this with me now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let Jesus in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his pleading voice, and don't turn him away. Let's lift up our hands. Praise the Lord. Search ourselves. Examine ourselves. Appreciate you being patient to be with us. Brother Jimmy said, I had a vision. In the vision, you talked 5 days without stopping. And said in that, you was trying to tell the people what you was here to do. And what this was about as to what you had to do. And explain to them what you was doing. And that is true. While we have our hands lifted up, many of you are my children. I would to God all of you were, as Paul said, all together as I am in Christ, that all of you are my children to the extent that you are right with God. And indeed it is to let whosoever will. But as to the foreknowledge of God, God saw the deceitfulness of the hearts of those that would be religious and would not. And thus he wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And let's trust that you was one that surrendered your life and heart to the Lord Jesus, that you might be one of my children. And even as Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And wherever I am, there shall my sheep be also. And you being my children in the Lord, then I love you, and I pray for you, and I do everything that I know to do for you to the best of my ability, that we might give our life, even as God, if he would help us, to be a living sacrifice in your behalf. As I say to my wife a lot of times, even for my natural children, and I say, Betty, I choose to give my life for my children. that I should pray always, that I should try to live for God always, and that I should try to deny myself always and to do what He wants always, that my children might have the benefits of it and that they might live. For David said, I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children, or that is to say his seed begging bread, whether it be the seed of Christ or whether it be the seed of the righteous. So in this, we are fixing to go to Jerusalem. I think next Sunday, maybe. Is that right? So we may not get to be with you next Sunday. And as to the service this morning and tonight, I've tried to take that advantage to exhort you just a little bit. And going down into Egypt, proud of Egypt, I've called my son. It has great significance. And going down to Egypt, we have to minister. As of now, maybe more, maybe less, it could change, but as of now, we're informed that we have to minister at least 14 different times while we're on this trip, which doesn't seem to be a hard thing, but it is a hard thing when you travel so far from one place to another. I've been traveling so far from here to get to the place where you're going to minister, even on the other side of the ocean. And so then with this, we exhort you to pray for us, and we exhort you to live right. And the parents to lay up for the children, watch over the children. Even as a father when he's gone away, as to Moses when he was in the mountain, and there they worshiped the golden calf, and the earth swallowed them up. And while he was trying to make provisions, they got ambitious on their own, as the world has done. And while God, as to his leaders, gone away to get the vision. Thank you, baby. And now, all of a sudden, when they return, they're going to find out that they are collecting, as to the minister of the day, the gold and the silver and the monetary values, and they're making the golden calf. And when the revelation comes, and as to the return from the mount of God, it's going to be bad because it's going to be ground up. As we say, put in the waters, as to the people be in the waters, and the people are going to be bitter at them, as we've said a number of years ago. And with that, they're going to say, you took our money, as they did PTL. And I know some personally that's very angry over it and very upset. But nevertheless, as to wisdom being justified of her children, we know that that's true. And you that love the Lord will not do those things. And they that will not give to God or share with God their time, they find themselves in a snare, and the Lord sending them strong delusions, and they share their time and their substance as to giving it to the thieves, the robbers, and that Satan is of such, and desireth that that be of the flesh. And they build great places of entertainment, even as the PTL did of that great thing that Jim Baker built up there that was... had nothing to do with God, but just a place of frolic for the elite to, as the Bible said, creeping into houses and leading silly women as to widows astray, to follow after them and to make out their wills to them and whatever. You're the children of God. You're the children of light, and the whole world is depending upon you. And as to the eradication, the example, as to the shadows, as to the type, as to Paul the Apostle, as to this church, the eradication of all of that, as to the elimination, and with the eradication, the brightness of his coming, as within you, to do away with the intellectual conviction of ignorance, that darkness within you that's blinded you, even as Lucifer, the god of this world, through that has blinded everybody and cut them off from God, even as it did Adam, and even in Adam all die, which is the consummation of the world, as to the receding of Christ, the world. And as to the coming of the great light, the dissipation, even heaven and earth passing away. So with this great light is the Christ to you, even as it will appear in the body of Jesus, as to the Jew at the end of the world and the whole world consummated. Now, the earthly perspective is beginning to come in, because the door of the church ages is getting ready to close. And in the closing of the doors of the church ages, the Jews come back in, and the bowels of compassion are gone, and no more children, and that Zion will not travail anymore. When Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. And as to the spiritual Jew, the true Jew It's gotten to where the church doesn't want to pray anymore, and they don't want to fast anymore, and they don't want to do as the early church, when the people loved the Lord and gave Him glory as to being saved by His grace when they were unfit. And then through this, as to their love, they willingly gave themselves to the surrender to call upon the name of Jesus and to make manifest this light that the world might see it, not as in hypocrisy or for worldly gain, as to enter into the riches of the world, whereas the Bible said and warned to them that are at ease in Zion. And certainly the world has got at ease as to this gospel of the blessings, as to this gospel of the health, as to this gospel of riches, and this gospel of esteeming yourself. And that is what they're teaching. And indeed, it is the gospel of blessing, but misconstrued as to the intellectual and the charismatic order, as to the old beast, as to the reign upon. But folks, it's not so with you. And to your conception as divinity and the child, to the travail, and now Christ is coming forth. And the world didn't like you because you was out of shape. And the world didn't like you because you taught travail. And their God was the God of money and dollars and dance, laugh. David said, no bonds in their death. They're fed to the full, but they're in slippery places. I know when I went to the house of God, He said, I learned it. Before I was baffled, I thought, I have cleansed my hands in vain. But folks, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. Just endure to the end and hold on, because the end is here and the time is at hand. Lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. Just lift up your heads, close your eyes, lift up your hands. And let's sing this little chorus, and I won't hold you long.
I will praise Him.
Remember the mysteries of God being finished.
Will pray. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Let us yield Him glory of people, for His blood has washed away every stain, and time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more.
For the angel
he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. For time,
and you're the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, Peter said. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, as to them that would come to Calvary, that is in their generation. And in the fullness of time, gathered all things in heaven and earth, as to the redemption of the body. And now you are the people upon whom the end of the world comes. And the seed is to whom the promise was made, it came. And it has been confiscating as to go to all of its members. And here in the end of the world, we're beginning to get the last of the members and the last of the generation. Even the adulterous generation in which we're living shows the end of the world and the beginning of sorrow. And all these many things, the Bible has said, is to you and I that we should pray always, that we might be able to be counted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth for the tribulation upon all of your securities and all of your benefits. As it was said to me by a man out of Russia, he said, Brother Pike, we were the richest people among many in Russia. Even an 11-acre flower garden, a palace. But said, when communism came, as overnight they announced that you're under the rule of communism, and by morning thousands, or night thousands,
lay dead, even to the little children. And he said, Brother Pike, and he said this to the people, he said, when this happens to you, and it will happen to you, he said, then we wouldn't care for the riches anymore. And we wouldn't care for the splendors anymore. And when it's confiscated as to the devil, making you take the vow to lose your soul, as to burn in hell, as to the mark, then you won't have any delight in the things anymore. And you that are children of light, you see this as not to the day unawares upon you, but as to the world. They cannot see when the good comes because they cannot comprehend the light, though it shineth in the midst of darkness. And because of this, they will cry and they will scream, even as the Jews has done, as the wailing wall. And many things we spoke concerning. So while we sing this chorus one more time, remember now, all has passed away. All is gone. The end of the world. And though you don't understand, as to many of you, and as to naturally you've looked for it, as I said, in a way that it will not be. And as to now the natural perspective ready to come in, as to that of the Jewish to manifest that which they that naturally look for as to the judgments of God. What is going to happen to you? Will you be here to see it? No. No, you won't be able to see that because God, He hath a place for you because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. If I prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto my own, that where I am, there you might be also, and I will come. The world will not see me, but you shall see me, for I shall be in you. Always the things the Father's doing through the eyes of understanding. And now to be made manifest in the mortal genes as to the earthly perspective coming back in, as to the 7 to the 483, and that the end of the world. And that the chains of the body. So you will be gone away. And then the world will be here. But you will have escaped those awful things that's coming on the world. Can you sing that one more time with me? The mysteries of God must be finished. As to the translation of the church. Beginning with Paul. As to end in the midst of the candlesticks. As to John at the throne. Where the light came from to begin with. Let's sing it together one more time, okay? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Lift your hands up. For the angel, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, on the sea and the land and time. Remember what we taught you about time as to the dissipation, as to the coming of time, as to the length of time, as to the dissipation of time. And here you are upon the end of the world. This has come upon you. Here you are. And where are you? The time is at hand. Are you holy still? What are you in the predestinated mind of God? To do these things is to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Ye shall never fall. As to a good man stumbling 7 times, he'll get back up. But not as to those coming to the knowledge of the truth and falling away, being put in the abyss of the bottomless pit. For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and land, and time. Would that men everywhere lift up holy hands made holy by Jesus, and is to represent the nail prints of that redemption. Time. While we sing this one more time. No more. I'm going to ask Chris if he'll come and dismiss us. No more. For the angels. angels will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Can you lift up your hands? Close your eyes. I heard the Lord speak to me then as a reminder, like He always does. And things that are happening right now that He shows us and tells us, and things a lot of times I never say to you. Maybe you'll see it, maybe not. But anyway, as you have your eyes closed and your hands lifted up, we're going to sing that. And I will praise Him.